I heard Leroy assure you that this was to be a short meeting. I imagine that had some application to the speaker. It was John Stott that I first heard say that for a talk to be immortal, it need not be everlasting. This talk will not be immortal, and it's my job for Leroy to keep it from being everlasting. I would like to add my welcome to you, and welcome to Colorado, where the sunshine is spending the winter. To the chagrin of the skiing people. But what I read about what's going on back east and Leroy's report about what's going on in Canada reminded me a little something I read here today, see if I can retell it. It was just after an ice storm that a man decided to take a walk and visit one of his friends. And after slipping and sliding in a terrible time, he finally ended up at his friend's house. And as he walked in, he was complaining. He said, "You know, it was terrible getting over here to see you. For every step forward, I slid back too." His friend said, "Now, if you took one step forward and then you slid back too, how did you get here?" "Well," he said, "I almost didn't." He said, "Really, what happened, I stepped off the porch and I slipped, fell down, slid almost out to the street. I decided not to come, so I turned around and headed back for the porch." And of course, he said, "Here I am." Now, I think I can use that illustration sometime. I don't know for what, but anyway, welcome. I'd also like to welcome you to Glen Eyrie. To me, Glen Eyrie, this wonderful facility that the Lord gave us a quarter of a century ago, has been a place where many people have met God and He's met needs in their lives. I think of Glen Eyrie like the Cave of Adullam. You recall that when David was fleeing Saul, he went to the Cave of Adullam. And it says there in 1 Samuel 22 that all that were in distress and all that were in debt and all that were discontented gathered themselves together unto him, and he became a captain over them. Well, then you read later on in his life, he became king. And toward the end of his life, there's a chronicle of the mighty men that David had. And they came from among that group that joined him at the Cave of Adullam. And I think of this like that. The battles were not fought in the cave, but that's where they got ready for them. Well, I wonder tonight, are any of you distressed? Anything that has you really upset? Anything that has you deeply discontented? Maybe in debt, maybe got over your head some way. Well, you've come to the right place. This is a place where God meets us and give this direction. And we get away from home and get away from the immediate surroundings. We get a new perspective on things. And particularly when it's done in an environment of people who love God, who are praying, and the stimulating fellowship both in the meetings and around the table and here and there in the housing units. So may you leave better prepared for the battles and what God has ahead for you than when you came. That's the hope and that's the purpose. Just a word to you as well about President's Conference. What is it? Well, the President's Conference, now this is the fifth one as Leroy pointed out, brings together business people who have a special appreciation for the responsibilities and concerns of the President of the Navigators and his immediate team. And many of you have had a significant part in a number of ways, among which financially helping the members of the President team and other projects, such as capital improvements, the IHQ startup, etc. Now, at this conference, no financial appeal will be made, no offering will be taken. You are our guests, and the entire emphasis is going to be on the first half of 1 Corinthians 9:11. Where it says, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it great thing? if we shall reap your carnal or material things. Well, we have benefited from you materially, but now we're going to emphasize on sharing spiritually. And so that is the purpose of this conference. It gives us an opportunity to minister spiritually. So with that in mind, I would like you to turn with me, please, to Psalm 119. As you're turning, I look at some of you that I have seen either at a luncheon or in your home over this last year. And you may remember that there's a verse of scripture that has really gripped my soul over the last couple of years. It has meant a great deal to me, and I have been drawing on it consistently. It is inexhaustible. And it's the last verse of the 119th Psalm. And I recall how one day this just lit up like a neon light. You know how it is sometimes. There are scriptures that you have read, but one day under a certain situation, it leaps out at you and grips you. That's what happened to me and with this scripture. It says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now this is so good that I'd like you to memorize that verse with me tonight, if you don't know it already. And it's in three parts. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Let's try it together. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. That has the advantage, I think, of being the same in the King James and in the New American Standard, or the RSV as well. I'm not too sure. I don't think the NIV, but we'll stick with this one. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, what is so startling to me about that, when it dawned on me that whoever wrote the 119th Psalm, and we're not sure it was David, but I have a sneaking suspicion it was. I like to think so. But whoever wrote it was a praying person. As far as I know, every verse, all 176 verses, are prayer. Each one is addressed to God. There is a praying person. And as far as I remember or know, all but two or three of those verses have to do with the Bible, the scriptures, his commandments, his statutes, his word. So here was a person in whose life the word of God was central. A Bible-centered, praying person concludes the psalm by saying, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Even the godly go astray. You and I go astray, don't we? We go astray in our thoughts, in our attitudes. I reflected quite often how, when I first got this job, I'd been into it 3 or 4 years. Dr. Henry Brandt came out here to speak. So I asked him for a little time one day, and I was just kind of under it. I was sort of tired, and et cetera. And I remember I was with him in the office, and it hadn't been 15 minutes or so. He said, I think I know what your problem is. He said, I think you are a resentful individual. And I resented that remark very much. I said, what do you mean I'm resentful? He said, well, you take the men that work for you. I think you're resentful of them. Well, I said, no, I lay down my life for them. Oh, he said, I'm pretty sure you feel like you have a pretty heavy job. This man comes and he wants that. That one comes and he wants this. And you begin to resent those intrusions. He said, I wouldn't doubt but what you're an irritable father as well. And no wonder you go around half tired. He was right. I had gone astray in my attitudes, which are habits of thought, negativism. some self-pity. We go astray, don't we, in our thoughts, in our attitudes. Or we go astray in our words. I don't know how it is with you. I sometimes almost despair. It seems like there's hardly a night when I think through the day backwards, and especially if I've spoken, that I don't remember something that I wish I hadn't said, or I'd have said in a more balanced way, or in some way I just plain ran off at the mouth. We go astray in our thoughts. We go astray in our words. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And we go astray in our deeds, in what we do and what we don't do. We go astray in our disciplines. Our prayer time, our time in the Word gets squeezed out. Magazines, television get too much time. Then it reflects itself in our actions. We don't think of the thoughtful thing to do for a needy person. We don't see it. And we become like the priest and the Levite instead of the Good Samaritan. And we get a little calloused. And so in our deeds we go astray. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Well, now what does he say? Does he say, now, Lord, don't worry. I'll find my way back. I'll correct this. I'm going to be like I ought to be. No, that isn't what he said. He said, Lord, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Lord, you come looking for me. Find me where I am. And bring me back to where I ought to be and where I want to be. Now that's fantastic. This psalmist had a firm grip on the grace of God. That's the grace of God. Grace is undeserved help from God. It's God seeking man. That is the heart of the gospel. In fact, that is so tremendous that the apostle Paul said that the gospel of the grace of God was worth laying down his life for. That message. When you think, what is it in this world worth laying down your life for? This psalmist summarized it in just three words. God, the grace of God. Aren't you grateful for the grace of God tonight? Undeserved help from God. God doing something for you before you do something for God. Now, most everybody here, I know a lot of you, are activists. You're active in the Lord's work. You have your businesses. You have your ministry. But I remember one of my friends telling me one day, he said, Lord, I think I have it figured out why so many Christian workers oftentimes just sort of collapse. They're trying to serve God and serve people and do here and do here, and they never take time to let God do something for them. Well, grace is letting God do something for you before you do something for him. So he prayed, seek thy servant. Come looking for me. Find me where I am in this situation, in this need that I have, and Lord, help me. Bring me back to where I ought to be and what I want to be. Well, what is your need tonight? I know you have one. We all do. Where have you gone astray? Well, let's pray. Seek thy servant. Seek me, Lord. Lord, come to me and find me and help me. All right, let's say that first two-thirds of that verse together. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Once more. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. And it said, Lord, come find me where I am and bring me back where I ought to be and where I want to be, because he said, for I do not forget thy commandments. I want to be brought back. I don't forget your commandments. In fact, not only could you say that you don't forget his commandments, you can't forget his commandments. One person said, for instance, I can't forget them because I have a Christian stomach. Because I know that when I'm worried or filled with bitterness or resentment or anger, my digestion is all upset. But when I'm forgiving and I've prayed and I have this peace of God that Philippians 4 talks about, my digestion is great. My stomach was made to be a committed, surrendered Christian. So I can't forget his commandments. Or to put a little bit more theologically, as someone has said, the Ten Commandments are not rules that God made up. They are an expression of his character. That's just the way things are. And nobody breaks the Ten Commandments, they break you. And they are just the way things are. They're built into the constitution of every human being, be he Christian or not. God made it that way. He says, I do not forget thy commandments. Now, people can sear their conscience, try to reason it away and all, but it's there. We're just made that way. And then, in addition to that, here you and I are. You've memorized scripture, you've studied the Bible, you go to church, you hear sermons, you're surrounded by Christians. You can't forget his commandments. And you don't want to. Well, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now let's try it. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And what verse is that of the 119th Psalm? 176. So let's say the reference together. Psalm 119, 176. All together with the reference fore and aft. The street address, first and last. Okay. Psalm 119, 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Psalm 119, 176. As Lucy and I look back on our 40 years of ministry, one of the highlights to me, I'd have to say, and in some ways, I'm embarrassed to say it, not really. But one of the highlights anyway, however I say it, of my whole life was my time with the Billy Graham team. And I don't say it because my buddy Cliff Barrows is here, but I reflected on it. And those 7 years in training the counseling of the counselors and helping the counseling and the follow-up. And during the early years that I was with the team, particularly for 5 years, I was there about 9 months a year, I gave myself to this thought. If I were to take the average group of Christians, and I can only get them to do two things. Now, there are 100 things you could teach them. But I could get them to do only two things. And those two things would make them the most effective counselors in the least amount of time. What two things would I get them to do? And I settled on what those two things would be and tried to make that the center of the whole teaching. One of them is I'd get them to have a daily quiet time, a daily time set aside for prayer and the Word. And the second thing I would do, I'd get them to commit choice verses of Scripture to memory. Now, I think, and NAV Press has done some tremendous things, but I think two of the best things the Navigators have ever put out. First is 7 Minutes with God, written by Bob Foster. And the other, Beginning with Christ, some verses to memorize. Now, in your pack that you should have gotten a copy of 7 Minutes with God. Would you take that out, please? Because we're going to have 7 Minutes with God right now. Did you get 7 Minutes with God? It's in the room. Well, you can have it twice, because you're going to do it now and you can do it later. Now, 7 minutes with God. I really like that. Because as you well know, when you start with 7 minutes, that begins to grow into 10. Then it becomes 12, then 15, and then 20. Now, the heart of this, Bob here points out, to put the 7 minutes together, first by having a half minute for prayer for guidance. Then he says, take 4 minutes to read the Bible. And then 2.5 minutes for prayer. And in prayer, he uses the alliteration of the word acts, A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Now, we're going to have 7 minutes with God all together right now. And I'm going to lead you. And what we'll do, you're all by yourself. There's nobody else there but you. And in the quiet of your own heart, I'll direct you, but you pray. And we're going to go through 7 minutes with God right now. Shall we pause? Our Father, we do ask now, in these few moments, you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Help us to set our minds on things above right now. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now for our 4 minutes that Bob suggested, we're going to review Psalm 119, 176. I said at the outset we were going to learn that verse. Well, you have to resist quite strongly not to learn that verse. Altogether, the first third, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Stop right there. Reflect a little bit. Have you gone astray? Have I gone astray? In my thought life, my words, my actions, what have I been omitting I know I ought to do? What have I been doing I know I ought to stop? Is there anything that the Spirit of God brings to my mind right now? If so, seek thy servant. Lord, come and help me at that point, at that thing. Let's stop and bow our heads and pray silently, each one, right now. I have gone astray like a lost sheep in this particular area, Lord. And name it to him. Tell him specifically what it is. And then pray, seek thy servant. Lord, come to me in that place where I am, and bring me back to where I ought to be, and where I really want to be. Because, Lord, I know from your word what you want. So would you help me? And tonight I want to lay hold of the undeserved help that you promised in this area. Lord, make it a new beginning for me. in this area of my life? Now let's say the verse again. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now shall we bow for prayer again. And now for some adoration, your head bowed and eyes closed, just tell the Lord what you think of him, how you love him, and what you appreciate about him. Then if there's any sin that you need to confess, if you haven't already, do that right now. And remember he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank him for cleansing you. Now let's spend just a little time thanking him for anything and everything you could think of to thank him about for a little bit. Then let's spend a moment in prayer, in supplication. First of all, for yourself. For any needs you have. What you'd like the Lord to do for you. Just these days we're together. Pray about that. And pray for your spouse. Then your children, one by one. And others that are close to you. For your pastor and his wife. Lord, we are so grateful that you have said, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That you are so long-suffering and gracious that any time we determine to come to you, you're there waiting. Thank you for that wonderful privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.